comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
I'm Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work. Those it's designed to set your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. This week's show, we're going to be talking about beyond physical death. And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, the phone lines will be open. It's toll-free in the US, that's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that's not free, okay? And this is the questions that we'd like you to join us with, or the conversation we'd like you to join in with, is actually going to be to do with our topic, okay? So it's not a personal reading type of situation that you might normally phone in for to get a reading about something. So, but it's very interesting, and it's not very often you get to talk to direct to a spirit guide from the other side of life in this pure way. Anyway, I'll hand you over to Mick.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading or any of the other services that we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and consciousness are transported to somewhere else in a different, well, I suppose really in the dimension that our spirit lives in, which is never in the physical world anyway. Please do have a good look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much chit-chat and information at the beginning of each show, because this would take up way too much valuable time, and what we're about is communication with the spirit world, and we devote the whole show for that. So, also, though, do have a look at our videos as well on YouTube, and you can hit that at either from our website direct, on the index page, main index page of spirit-teaching.com, or also at, www.youtube.com/spiritgregory, and you'll find our videos are on there. Okay? Oh, they're also on VO as well, and by the same name, incidentally, at, so that's www.vo.com/Brit Gregory. So there you go.
But if you go to our website, probably, you know, if you forget all of that, go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. Anyway, I'll just say a little bit about Gregory as Mick is going off. He had an earth life 300 years ago, but continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for the benefit of ourselves and our planet. The White Cloud Group, who represents performed to give us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific, brilliant minds, scholars, all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information that we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own. We are also, actually, you can also see us on Sunday at on www.secondlife.com in the Mystic Academy in the new Oracle Temple. For this is another session we have, that is at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. So that could be this Sunday, November 23rd. And you will have another chance to interact with Greg there. And I am in to Gregory for him live, on live. Live on the show. This is really good. I'm getting my mixed words up already to answer your questions. So today we're going to be discussing things that affect us all. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about aging gracefully and things, all of the connotations of that, retirement, bereavement. So it seemed a natural progression to actually move on to, well, you know, being that we are on a continuous journey of self-development and knowledge gathering, that we are eternal aspects in of our spirit. So this is something I thought we would move on to, the fact beyond death. You know, we can't really help ourselves to we can only help ourselves to a certain degree over death. And we can, it's not very often we get a chance to talk to somebody who, in such an explicit way, who can help us with what happens when you pass over. So I thought we could welcome Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and blessing be upon your pathway, dear Ben. Mm-hmm. Hello.
I thought, what better person to ask somebody that's there?
Dead, yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, the thing is, I'm thinking now, shall we go from the aspect of what you did? The sort of thing, I think that would be something that would be most fascinating, actually, start off with, was, for instance, an average day in your life. What did you do today? What did you do this week? You know, what are the sort of things that, we can only imagine what it's like in the spirit world.
I understand.
You know, I know, yeah. We talk about it and other spiritual teachers come to us and talk about it.
Yes, but what if you are not spiritual? What happens with your spirit? What happens with your consciousness if you haven't had a spiritual life? Or if that's not what interests you? There is a large number of people upon the planet's surface, after all, who are not particularly that spiritual, but rather do not really even entrust their spiritual eyes, lives, into the hands of somebody else who is. It's not usually until they are, let's say, at the twilight years of their life, that perhaps such a thing of evidence gathering will ever even come into the realm of understanding of many people. And really, I suspect that as physical people, what you really want to do is to be able to, in a sense, have communication with those, because they are people like your mother, father, sister, brother, people who do not necessarily relate in the same way, and maybe as you do, and maybe even because of that, that you yourself find yourself, in a sense, slightly apart from the rest of your family, because often, most often, it will be that a life which is moving along the pathway of spiritualization oftentimes will actually separate you or move you away from the energy of your loving family in any event. We have to acknowledge this because oftentimes other members of your family may even feel threatened by the whole spiritualization of your life and journey. Maybe even they themselves may feel that you are shutting them out by doing this. Particularly, of course, if you have some kind of attitude which created by your acknowledgement, gathering knowledge and all of that about universal situations, perhaps to do with your spirituality. That, for example, is partly why some people, when they are mixed up with religious dogmatic feelings, may well actually become quite separate from the rest of their family. Possibly because the rest of the family may well see you as a threat to their own stability and their own knowledge and ability to live the life that they want to live. Perhaps they'll feel that you're always judging them or something like that. So oftentimes a spiritualization journey, in a sense, for one individual can lead to heartache, can lead to separation for that life journey from other members of your ancestral family group. Genetic memories, for example, are often not necessarily shared. The situational climatic response you have as a being relating to your spiritual needs are often not met by your family group members. And that's the same for anyone, for people who actually become devoted monks or devoted in some other way toward their spiritualization. I'm not blaming it, I'm just stating it as a fact. So it's a change of energy then. So what about people like your mother, father, sister, brother, who are not thinking in the way that you do, who are not perhaps on some spiritual journey, but instead they are just ordinary people going out to their daily work, their daily routine, living, breathing, working, sleeping, eating, sweating, all of the other things that human physical beings do. That is what really interests us as respect of their actual physical journey and their mental journey before passing and after passing, as they're twiddling with their spirit. What happens to them and how do they relate really to their world? Oftentimes it has to be said, friends, that people who pass to our side of life without any function or understanding of their direct involvement of their spirit in their journey have difficulty. It may well be that they perhaps, shall we say, they do not actually have the construction memory or understanding of even maybe how to operate once they have passed. Oftentimes people feel the whole subject of passing in any event, because perhaps they don't recognize any kind of life after physical death. And so, therefore, it comes as a bit of a shock to them. They actually create consciousness, that their consciousness, creative, has come with them and is, in fact, coordinating their spirit into what they can and cannot achieve later on in their spiritualized life.
Okay, so well, can you explain that, how
yes,
that works?
Quite so. So, my dear friend, once you pass to our side of life, it will be the content of your consciousness, the instillment of your emotional state, which have created the pluses or minuses to your soul. That is what your soul is. And so it means then that the whole evolutionary process of your way of thinking and perhaps your sensitivity, your emotional needs created in physical life are not just your physical chemical reaction, then although they are brought about by physical chemical reaction, your environment. So thoughts, needs and discussions usually come from decision making that you create within your journey to understand or move on from one particular subject to another. As a physical being, that's what you do. But as a spirit, what you do is allow your physical consciousness, the interplay between physical consciousness and spirit, to enact what your higher feelings are, your morality code perhaps, maybe dictate the way in which you answer for certain environmental questions, foodstuffs, gatherings, and that kind of thing. So perhaps the mannerisms displayed there are going to be ordinated by your consciousness activity, by your morality code deep set within you, which has been furnished and accomplished in your formative years. Maybe perhaps even brought through by very strong genetic symbols, which may be a part of your life-gathering experience. So what I'm saying and suggesting here, my dear friends, is that it's your consciousness which is coating your spirit. You're wearing it as a pure spirit being, like a coat. Doesn't mean to say necessarily your consciousness is yet still acknowledging your spirit. It may well be your consciousness is still on this different attitude sitting, in a sense, and completely dismissing the whole archetype or ideal of the spirit world existence.
I don't want to get into meditation.
No, quite so,
but,
no.
But this is, just to jump in and say that this is why we try to get people to do the meditation that
yes.
we suggest, because it means that you become more closely twinned with your spirit.
So it makes your journey easier mm-hmm. in the spirit world once you've passed. That's the whole point.
Raise your vibration.
Yes.
Meet with your spirit.
Yes.
And it becomes a permanent fixed situation then.
Yes.
And encourages you to lead a more spiritual lifestyle as well, pathway.
Yes, that doesn't mean to say that you become some kind
no.
of hermit or monk. It all it means is that you perhaps gain a different aspect, aspect of responsibility for self and the journey that you make there within it. So it means then that Auntie Flo or Uncle Sam or whoever it is that's passed, actually, in their ordinary nature of physical life, perhaps they were just people that ate ordinary foods, that they didn't actually go out of their way to help other people, or maybe they did. Maybe they were just genuinely loving anyway, loving beings anyway, but that maybe they just did a normal, typical day of work.
Well, this is it.
An ordinary gathering experience.
Mm.
Perhaps worked in a factory or something like that. What about that person?
Mm.
And this really is the situation that we're interested in here, so that we can relate this whole situation to ordinary people, people who are not in this spiritualization vocational setting, but rather are ordinary people who love, who play, who work throughout their lives, and do so with alarming regularity, perhaps. Maybe avoiding certain pitfalls in their life purely because of their eagerness to learn in the restrictive settings of their own country that they were born into, or maybe it is that is something which has actually brought them outside of them now.
Yes, because we're all on a spiritual journey. It's just that some are more conscious of that journey
and aware
than others, aren't they?
Yes, you know, quite so.
Not what everyone would acknowledge or be aware of that fact. So, what happens to the person when they suddenly start realizing that they are on this spiritual pathway, and they start becoming intrigued and searching for more knowledge, because it's almost like an awakening to the fact that it's like a light bulb moment, isn't it?
Yes, like so, eating a bowl of parsnips and carrot soup. It's as though you would wish it never came to the end of it because of its sweetness and its taste.
But what happens to the person at that point?
Quite simply, what happens is that the level of vibration changes between the conscious physical state and the spirit. And there, it means that you become more aware of that possibility of what you intrinsically are. So, but that, in a sense, however, does deter one from the point of the setting of what we're talking about, which really is that you have an ordinary person who passes, who maybe didn't ever pray, who maybe didn't ever go to find spiritual or seek spiritual wisdom in any respect, but actually just lived life. And these are the people really that really interest us, because they're the ones that sometimes have great difficulty when they passed. Other times, may well be that even if a person didn't have that kind of life, that once they get to our side of life, they just accept it. and then carry on their merry way. But how do they carry on if they don't have the correct information of their energy pattern because they haven't created it in their physical life? That's part of the problem that we find, that people, in a sense, stagger about because they don't actually know how to relate to what they are dealing with in the spirit world, or even, in fact, how to communicate in the spirit world.
Hey, hold that thought. Hello, caller. Who's speaking?
Hi, Sylvie. This is John from Indiana.
Hello, John.
Hello, Fred.
How are you?
Hi, Gregory. I'm doing very good. Hi, BBS Radio. But, yes, Gregory, can you please tell us more about the bond between an individual and their family from when they're conceived to after they go into spirit? What is the spiritual bond between family members?
Yes, between one side of life and the other is actually really to do with the energy of love. That's not necessarily going to be same energy of love that exists in the physical world, because your energy actually changes once you come to our side of life. It's a more rarefied atmosphere. It's a very much quicker atmosphere. And the speed of it is really, in a sense, something that you feel within every fiber of your conscious state. So what you then feel as a person, an ordinary physical person who passes, and then you're finding yourself in the spirit world, is that perhaps the energy of love that is coming, emanating back from the physical life, because your relatives and loved ones maybe are grieving over your passing, one would perhaps hope that they are, but particularly if you have been a loving person, a content in their life journey, then it will be that they will be grieving purely and simply because they're going to miss you as a physical being. But the part of then what happens to that energy is that it is spent, in a sense, right, raising the vibration. It's the vibration that you'll feel as a spirit being, as a new spirit being. And that vibration will oftentimes, sometimes be quite upsetting for the spirit. Maybe even that energy may encourage that spirit to grow and progress further in knowledge gathering and awareness. But it's not to say that automatically every being who comes to the spirit world is going to suddenly be bathed in light and love, and that everything is rosy from there on, relieving that person of all their past physical mistakes or misdeeds or whatever. That is something that they will have to gradually accommodate within their own consciousness and, in a sense, create life and awareness around that understanding.
So how far is the bond then between the individual family?
It's actually quite extensive, but does not necessarily mean to say that spirit who has just passed, the consciousness who has just passed, will automatically always only survive within the ancestral homeland or within the ancestral setting. See? That really is just a temporary situation, a temporary state of the spirit, purely and simply because the spirit has engaged with the cell structure of a genetic physical family of the earth plane. And it's only a temporary joining. It's only a temporary relationship. So it doesn't mean to say that you will forever and a day, for millions of years from this day forward, always be associated with that genetic family. It becomes just a part of your spirit manifestation.
Unless you want it.
Unless you want to do that. And some people do. I do not douse this one jot at all. It's quite simply a manifestation of many beings who perhaps come from a really deep-seated sacred journey. Maybe they have, shall we say, they've had an existence in physical life, maybe with tribal ancestors or something like that. Perhaps they're very tribal people who actually lived the kind of life, maybe quite harsh in many respects, but lived a life which was very much engaged with the physical earth. And perhaps they had to hunt their own for their own food, or or grow it themselves, maybe living on farmland or something like that, or maybe just were a person who was a part of a roving band that moved from one place to another. All of this energy will be gathered up and stored within their consciousness. Therefore, it may well be that being continues with their ancestral family group in the spirit world. Doesn't mean to say they're stuck in it or fixed in it. They can move away from that if they wish to do so, but would still carry that identity for as long as they need that to be a part of it, and for as long as it is necessary for that energy to continue to regenerate itself. And it usually does that through the way in which that person is their life or continues to gather their own awareness of their journey around them.
Go back to John.
Wow, that's very enlightening. Gregory, can you tell us about some of the almost family-like relationships that are forming within the White Cloud group with perhaps people that we would be familiar with?
Well, the family relationships, my dear friend, that are forming within the White Cloud group itself is that we're not members of one genetic family, apart from the fact that I suppose about half of us are have actually had a physical life at some point or other upon the earth plane. That's the only link with many people within the White Cloud group itself, because we're gathered beings who I myself, not being a scientist, but really just a person with a lot of a gift of the gab, if you like, and that was really my whole state in this affair. I wasn't a person who was educated in my physical life, but everyone else is and has been. My education came after my physical passing in 1723. I still relate in time and part to other members of my physical family. I still relate to my my cousin Ham, and I still relate to my mother and my father. And in some respects, I still relate to other ancestors of my family group. However, that isn't something that I labor over, because my job at this present time, my vocation, if you like, of my spirit journey and of my consciousness happens to be that I am a part of this group's service, so that what I am actually trying to fulfill is the wishes of the group, because I have an assimile with it. I have an identity with it. And also, of course, with the Earth planet, because I want to see it continue to survive for all of the trillions and billions of other spirit beings having, so that they too can have an Earth physical existence. I don't want to see you destroy it. And that is quite simply what the draw is, I suppose you could say, what the attention, the attraction is. And that really is the whole focus of the group. So I suppose in some respects you could say it's not spiritualization that brings us together here within this group. It's an ideal of bringing factual information and understanding in a very genuine way and caring way. That is our prime purpose here. It's that we want human beings to survive, and we want to try to correct the mistakes that may be we, or as parts of the Earth heritage, have realized are the emblems of what we have created in our physical life that have been left as a legacy, I suppose, to future generations. We feel very responsible for the actions, decisions, and judgments that we made in our physical life, which then may have had a repercussive state upon the well-being, climatic effects, and other situations of other relationships and journeys within the spirit, in the physical sphere. I hope that understands, makes it a bit more plain.
Yes, thank you very much. That explains it.
Yes, thank you still. Thank you, Ben.
Okay, John?
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you,
God
John.
Bless,
do call
dear.
Again
thank
soon.
Thank you still. So, you see, in this respect, then, we also have to turn to the very explicit relationships within one family group. What happens to sister, brother, father, son, whoever is left in physical life when that person has left to our side of life and journeyed home? and how that person who is now in the spirit world relates back to them. It may well be that they're watching and studying everything that other members of their physical family are still doing, perhaps watching the mistakes they're still making. And oftentimes that will be evidential situations which come up maybe when you have discussions through a medium as to the kinds of climate which are brought about in those relationships.
Absolutely. So, okay. So where do you want to move on to then with this?
Well, so, for example then, my dear friend, what would one person normally do once they come to our side of life?
Absolutely.
Are they still going to brush their teeth? Are they still going to eat food? Interesting thought, isn't it? When it's in a non-physical world. But in actual fact, it will be the conditions of memory, your conscious memory, that you still have anchors to, that you still have a relationship with, because that's the last thing that you did. So you ate food. So there it is. Then you still have that understanding and memory of your conscious state. You were breathing at one point, and then you weren't. So as a part of remnant, if you like, of your physical journey, you still have a conscious memory setting of that ability of being able to do that. And yes, I understand, you will also have a conscious memory setting of when you could no longer do it as well. But that was just a brief moment of realization within your conscious memory setting. Most of your conscious memory have, in fact, times of your wellness, times of your consciousness, perhaps when you were in interacting with dis-ease or difficulty maybe in your life, or maybe with very pleasant things and pleasant surroundings. Maybe perhaps you were someone who really liked and enjoyed sexual relationships with other people and that kind of thing, and that was something which floated your boat, as it were. And so that will be possibly upper in the consciousness setting. Don't think for one moment, my dear friend, that such things are actually aspiritual or are going to take your consciousness away from your how you want to become in order to increase your vibration. Very often, great and fondness, love, is created in that way, in that physical state. And so your attraction to food, for example, your attraction, the taste, the sensations that come from you eating a particular kind of sweet or meat or vegetable or whatever it is that fires within your memory as the memory of why you keep doing it. Yes?
Yes, well, it must be down, surely, is it, to which consciousness memory is the uppermost.
Yes.
The most vibrant memory.
That becomes the driver, doesn't it?
So when you pass, which is why it's always different then for each person.
Yes.
And okay, so well, you work in the reception chamber, as you call it, on
as
the other
part
side.
Part of my other life,
as,
yes.
As a part of what you do. And we will be talking about that at some point during the series, because we want to know your diary.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So,
yes.
My ever-filled diary.
Yes, yeah, a day in the life of. Okay, so is there something that is, shall we say, you know, the most common thing, that people say as a whole when they first get to the other side of life from whatever personality they are? Is there something that usually crops up in those, at the beginning, or somewhere near the beginning when they get there?
Yes, part of it really is to do with where they are.
Yes.
And also what they are. Oftentimes there are struggles with those two things.
Right.
And where they are is actually related to what they are. So it will be that the use of consciousness memory means they look at themselves. What do they see? Do they see their hand in front of their face? Not necessarily so. It depends on how intact their that part of their conscious pathway has become, has managed to come with them to the spirit world.
And what entails
that? And for some
that?
People it doesn't.
Yes, but what entails that? What would make that happen in one and not in the other then?
It's actually to do with what happened at the point of passing which created the passing. And that is why it is that some people have more difficulty than others. That doesn't mean to say that because, shall we say, that a person, let's see, had, perhaps they had suffered from Alzheimer's disease, so perhaps they weren't even aware of themselves when they passed. And that can be not a difficulty, but it really just needs that for other energies around that being at the point of their passing help them to reattach to their consciousness memory.
How do they do that?
And what we do is basically we communicate with them, even if they don't want us.
What, before they pass?
Well, yes, it can be before they pass. It can be actually for the state of people suffering from Alzheimer's disease or something like that, which can be quite distressing at times for patients. It will be, though, that at times of their present illumination, maybe their spirit consciousness, their spirit and their consciousness, have come to our side of life in any event. And the times when they're back in the physical body are fewer, become fewer and fewer. And most of their life is actually spent in the spirit world. And that can actually be something which enables them to ease themselves into their life journey, so that oftentimes it can be actually that people with who suffer from such debilitating diseases, or mental diseases like that, will actually create a better pathway for themselves in any event. And they just, in a sense, become whole. It's like getting all of their body parts into the one place so that their conscious memory becomes whole again.
Which is why that they can be so distressed when they find themselves back in this world for the lucid moment period.
Yes,
time,
absolutely, yes.
And they don't like it. It's not as nice as comfortable
and complete
as being in the spirit world when in those moments that they're not there.
Yes, and of course, because the other part of that memory means that when they are in the physical life, it's all disjointed, and the because it's all fractured, and because the physical brain is unable to cope with the previous patternation of the synapse, the way that they were orientated in the physical being. Yes? So that it no longer applies. It's like having a jigsaw puzzle template to your physical brain. This was the way it was coordinated all the way through your physical life, and then bits of it become missing. That's because the synapses are broken down because of the fatty tissues or whatever it was that have inhibited that journey, that physical alignment of cell structure. And it inhibits the way in which pulses are sent from one area of the physical brain to another. So it means that you are, in a sense, discombobulated. You have a come apart.
So in those instances, we shouldn't, we should actually take comfort from that when they are off at those times and not sensing them that they are in this world. And we worry about them, you know, not being able to
respond
to us and interact with us and that sort of thing. So we should actually be welcoming those times.
In a sense, yes, because it actually does mean that they will be having other kinds of experiences which they will be able to relate to and will help them in their future journey as spirit beings.
And they are more, presumably, are they more twinned with their spirit in those moments then?
Yes, absolutely
so. Because it's their spirit that takes them off on this journey, that sort of thing.
Yes, so that is true. And it doesn't mean to say, though, that it's never, that it means that there should be less anxiety on the part of the patient, the person who is going to pass through such a situation. It's usually, in fact, not that they actually pass from that, but they pass from the breakdown of their ability of their subconscious state to continue their ordination of their physical organs. So that's what generally tends to come apart in that respect.
Mm. Yes. So when they get to the spirit world, they can either be a lot more coherent and easier to their transition will be easier
and
for them.
Yes, and it may well actually be quite instant. instantaneous as well, once all their parts of their consciousness have been brought together and their physical life has ceased. Understanding as well, of course, that as a physical being, with a foot in either camp, as it were, they're also responding to the needs and distressing situations visited and created by other people, well-meaning, who have great deep affection for that person, who are left in as ancestors of that person in their physical life.
Yes.
Still now living.
Yes, so they're grieving a lot.
And of course, that's a very anxious state as well, to be coping with someone within that kind of disease setting because of the ill ease at which they are living. And so what they relate to is actually what they're seeing and focusing on, which is their living physical tissue experience, not their understanding, their actual spirit value, and the time that they're having in that relationship. So what they will be doing actually in the spirit world will be gathering themselves, understanding how things work. And oftentimes it will be that we will take advantage of those situations so that their transition is much easier. With somebody else, maybe, perhaps, though, who is perhaps not suffering from that kind of illness, it will become that their journey maybe is seen as being completely different. And perhaps when they come to our side of life, what they experience is a completeness of their journey. Or maybe they're in fear of it and perhaps refuse to open their eyes or something like that. How do they have eyes if they're non-physical? Well, purely and simply because it's a conscious memory. And what you have to understand is that most often it will be that people, beings, when they pass to our side of life, are going to wear their existence on their spirit as a continuation of their physical journey. So they're going to look and feel like the being that they were.
And is that what you see from the other side? What do you see? How does it emerge? It's fascinating.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's fascinating to other people. You know, we can only really try and just imagine. So, what do you see when somebody passes?
Well, so first of all, what we see in that is the spirit light of the being. So their actual original spirit destiny. Yes, the energy of purity of that which is that of the energy of God or the state of is that they are. Yes, so this means that their vibration will be already part evident, if you like. We will then know instinctively exactly where they've come from, what part, what quadrant, if you like, of the spirit world, what vibrational setting that has come from, and then gathered with that will be the coordination of their consciousness, which arises as a kind of, it's like, oh, I see that you're wearing this coat, you see?
How will you know where they came from? You mean in the spirit world where they came from?
Yes, where they came from in
what
the spirit
soul
world, and
they
that's
come from?
Really to do with their spirit's vibration.
Okay, originally.
Original vibration. And that's the first thing that we will see, is their original vibration. Then it will become more evident as the thickness of their journey doesn't evaporate, it actually congeals, in a sense, on their spirit. So then it becomes that their physical journey to their consciousness memory begins to become validated upon their spirit. And then we begin to see the actual physical being that they were. And that actually happens quite quickly.
Really?
Yes.
So they
gradually grow in front of you, you see?
Really?
Yes.
In a matter of minutes, days, hours?
Well, time isn't of an essence.
No, I know.
Because it's not linear.
You have to give it a...
Yes, in a manner that you can understand.
Yes.
I understand that, yes. So I suppose it happens over a very short space of periods of our acquisition, of us studying a being who has come. From your side of life. The time isn't fixed. The layering isn't fixed. It will depend entirely upon that journey and the state of that vibration, which is then illuminated through the spirit.
Fascinating.
So, you see, that is exactly what will happen then. In that respect, you have different situations of how that person becomes invalidated. It will depend upon their consciousness, their awareness of their consciousness at the time. Perhaps it will be... I'm trying to think of different situations that would bear credence to this. What then of a person who, for example, we are aware of a being who came to our side of life who was, what they did was they fell into a vat of molten metal.
Oh, gosh. Okay, and this is actually something that was real, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And, but when they fell into the vat of molten metal, they didn't die straight away. They didn't pass straight away. But the part of their body, half of their body, was floating upon the surface of this molten metal. And what actually then happened was the being seeking for another in physical life to actually finish them off, in a sense, so that they could return to our side of life. This was dutifully done and created. But what then is the cell memory of that being going through that physical experience? Do you understand?
Yes.
Part of the situation of that, one would think, would be the last physical memory emblem of that journey would have been something of horrendous torture.
Absolutely.
And that's the same for anyone else who suffers at some violent kind of passing that forms a part of their memory, yes?
Yes.
So that actually begins to be something that we see and observe straight away as the consciousness setting is beginning to ferment upon the surface of the spirit. That's somebody on the... Yes?
Hello?
So we'll carry on.
Okay.
Just unfortunately, it means there's an echo upon the situation.
Yes.
Anyway.
Maybe Seth in the studio will get it.
Yes. So the situation then for this being will be that gradually the consciousness is coming together and we are seeing it on our side of life, from our perspective, as well as being aware of what happened during that person's passing because the distress signals that came out from the consciousness were actually gathered by the spirit world and those around them.
Oh,
yes, so we're actually pre-warned about it in any event because of the person's doorkeeper or something like that has already alerted us as to what is taking place.
Right, okay.
So that means then that we will actually be able to gather ourselves for helping this being reassess their own situation once they've passed. So that doesn't mean to say that the pain gate situation of what they actually went through is completely erased. It is held as a memory, but is actually reduced as that memory. Obviously, as the physical person passed, it will be the biggest thing that happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the last distressing thing that you will have seen that being go through, yes? And that's the thing that stays with you as a physical being. It's not the thing that stays in the same luminosity with the being as they pass to the spirit world. It gets dramatically reduced into the context of where that was, how long it took for that to be illuminated, to carry out in the physical life, as opposed to the rest of their life. You see, if it was just a short experience, then it's only going to be a matter of milliseconds in their consciousness.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, friend. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
can hear you now, yes.
Yes, it's Nina. I have a question.
Oh, hi, Nina.
Hello,
hi.
Friend.
I've always pondered about this. I mean, I know where I'm at this moment, but when you die, do you go sort of like some kind of process where, you know, a therapy process or something?
That will depend. That will depend, my dear friend Nina, upon the different situations of what you have amassed in your physical journey. So it will depend, perhaps, on your state of awareness of other feelings of other beings. I'm not necessarily painting this as a spiritualization journey. I'm saying this as regards to any person's life. So perhaps auntie, uncle, who doesn't necessarily have a spiritual journey, maybe it is that their concentration is at an emotional level. Perhaps their level of love for someone else or something like that. Something which is quite basic but very real. And by saying basic, I don't mean to diminish their level of understanding or anything about them. All right. beings can be extremely loving by the engagement of what they do, what they create within their life, their empathy, their feeling, their love, their joy, their sanctuary, if you like, that they bring and pass to other beings. It's most important that you realize that all of that is what comes with you to the spirit world. And that is something which then creates the pattern, creates the beauty of your spirit journey to continue in the physical voyage. So it's, if you like, it's like sewing upon your spirit journey the sequins, the gems, the crystals, the beautiful remnants of the purest forms of energy you twin with as a physical being. Those are the upper parts, registers of your memory, the cherished states that enlarge and create your empathic role and the energy of your emergence, which alters your whole vibration. And these are the sequins, the jewels, which are sewn into your conscious memory, which then illuminate your spirit.
Right. I have a friend who's not very spiritual. He's quite angry in this lifetime, and he just has no concept of, like, a creator or anything. Just doesn't believe in that. And it's not that I'm scared for him because I know it's his path, but it kind of, I don't know. You know, I can't bring him to that awareness. It's his life to find that out for him.
Yes, the point is, you mustn't distress yourself over this. For many reasons, it will be that quite possibly your relative, or even if it was a friend or whatever, will actually come to some alignment or understanding perhaps later on in life. It just may simply be that they're not ready to accept that, or perhaps they haven't been given the evidence so that they can form the knowledge pattern pathway that they can actually understand or relate to.
Hey, we've only got a minute left. We had a lovely email from Nina, actually. Thank you, Nina, darling.
I was present, my dear friend. I was with you, all of you, and it was such a blessing that we see that you are bringing together such energy between you all.
That's lovely. Okay,
thank
we have to go now, Nina.
Have a wonderful night.
Yeah, God bless. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear friend. We will talk again.
Certainly.
Bye-bye. Yes, bye-bye.
Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you so with love and light. Blessings be upon your pathway, everyone. Good night.
Good night. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for our phone calls. And I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teachings.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.